Hello, I'm Aaron Surma from Juno Youth Services. Tonight's panel discussion was put together by the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition and will focus on coping with holiday stress. The panelists and I will dig into topics of grief and loss, stigma and suicide, and managing the stressors of the holiday season. Joining me in the studio are Crystal Borland, Executive Director of NAMI Juno, Michelle Bullier, local therapist, and Jan Reese, Training and Outreach Coordinator for the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition. Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition is an active coalition working to maintain community-wide suicide awareness and prevention in Juno, with goals of educating the community about mental health and suicide, reducing stigma, and raising awareness of community resources. And to this end, we wanted to speak about holiday stressors because we know that that's something that a lot of people are experiencing this time of the year. We know this anecdotally, and we also have some data to back it up. More than 60% of people in a recent study reported feeling holiday-related stress. Time, money, societal pressure, and pressure to provide for family are the biggest stressors, according to the American Psychological Association. Jen, in your work with the Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition, what have you noticed about this?
After speaking with people in our community about the upcoming holidays, shopping ideas, events that we're having around Juno, I found that there's a couple of different things that may cause stress for the holidays. One of the things that some people did mention was social isolation, whether it be that they haven't been invited to an activity or a program, or that they have high anxiety from being around large crowds, which contributes to an increased anxiety that and complicates the situation for them. I also feel that some of the people that had spoke to me are worried about having a shortage of money since it's a gift-giving season. When you have a shortage of money, you might feel that that's overwhelming to you about what am I going to give to someone to remind them how important they are in my life, but we seem to forget that the gift is being important to that person in your life. There's oftentimes family dynamics when you're bringing your family from other locations or that they come over to visit for the holidays and they usually aren't there. It puts a lot of pressure on the host. And then, of course, there's less light in Juno, so our days are getting shorter, which has caused us a little more stress, even if it wasn't the holiday season. I think one of the things that I mentioned to you when we had talked about this radio show is that there was a time in, I think it was 6 years ago, where I had actually lost my job during the holiday season. This put a lot of stress on me because I was a single mother and trying to figure out what I was going to give my son for the holidays. And so I reached out to my community resources. And one of the community resources that I really appreciated was the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. My son and I stood in line and was very happy to meet with Darren and to be able to get a box that helped us through that hard time. We also had an anonymous box delivered at our front door that I believe the Glory Hall was able to come together with, and that helped us to be able to feed the family that did show up that day and help to kind of relieve the anxiety that we were having for the holiday season. So I think it's really important that you know where your resources are in your community and what can help you to get through that actual stress of the holidays and recognizing your own coping skills.
It sounds like being connected to community resources really helped you in your example a few years ago. How did you find out about those resources? Where did you learn about them? Who connected you to them? How did that come about?
Yeah, I was actually new to Juno at the time. And so I was a member of an organization here, and I reached out to people that I was on the committee with and asked them, you know, what does Juno have to offer for someone that, you know, might lose their job during the holidays or might be in a time of need? And they referred me to a community resource that I used, a community resource list. I actually got the list from Catholic Community Services.
That's great. And you mentioned some other stressors. You're a pretty crafty person. What do you do to cope with holiday stress? What are your tips and tricks for people?
Yeah, I think one of the things for me is it causes a lot of anxiety for a couple members of my family to go into large crowds or to go to Fred Meyer's for shopping. And so we meet one to two times a week, and we get together and do crafts and create gifts. So that financially helps, you know, with the burden of buying a gift. And yet you can give something that I believe is even extra special during the holiday season.
That's great. Michelle Bullier, you're an expert in anxiety and managing stress as a therapist. Do you have any tips for the audience on how to cope with the stress of the holiday season?
Yeah, Yeah, I was just thinking, I wholeheartedly agree with what Jan was saying about how if you have family around and you're not always accustomed to having them around, that can feel pretty stressful. So one of the things that comes up a lot when I'm talking with clients at this time of year is, ooh, I'm going to be around my family, and all of a sudden, I turn into someone I don't even recognize. My own partner often teases me that when I get around my mother, I become a surly teenager. So I think it's really important to recognize that when this happens, and the clinical term for this is regression, we kind of forget that we are the age that we are and that we're as skillful and graceful as we've become with that age. And we sort of go back. So in the case of me becoming a surly teenager, I tend to feel like I only have the skills that I had at the time of being a teenager. And so one of the things that I think is really important is thinking about boundaries and setting boundaries. When we're teens, we're just not that good at boundaries. And as we age, we get better. And so kind of consciously reminding ourselves, okay, what have I learned? It's okay to say to someone, oh, yes, I'm really going to try to stop by to see you. But, you know, I might only have an hour to see you. Or, you know, to say to someone else, oh, I'm going to bring my own car because I might need to leave early. And Jan was also kind of talking about the difference between introverts and extroverts. I think everyone that knows me knows I'm a very proud, card-carrying introvert. And so what I've learned over the years is I really need a lot of time to recharge after social situations and just allowing myself to have that time, to be able to take a bath, to go on a walk with my dog, to listen to music, to be by myself, to journal, to meditate. I think all of these things are really important. And I'm just now, as I approach middle age, figuring out, wow, this is the proportion of time that I need to recharge after those social situations. So that's one thing, is really kind of being clear about our boundaries so that we don't end up overcommitting and then feeling resentful or worn out later on.
And Michelle, I want to add that I'm thankful that you brought up boundaries, because two of the things that have helped me with my coping skills, and like I said, I get anxiety when I host, is that I've now set a time of when we want to start our dinner, and I actually start at that time. And if someone's late, they can join us when they arrive. But I also set a time of when the dinner's going to end, you know, so that you that you're able to set your boundary of this is how long we're going to be celebrating, and then it gives me time to clean up or relax. And another thing that I think has helped me a lot, again, I have three adult sons, and then they have friends, and I have an open door, is delegation. I know what my limits are now with my boundaries, and so I started saying, yes, they can join us, but now you need to bring, you need to bring, and it it has helped me so much with arranging for the holiday seasons or any gathering throughout the year.
Absolutely. I think that that's really important and helps kind of shape people's expectations, because part of what we're talking about as we think about anxiety is a sense of, oh, I feel like I'm supposed to do everything. I feel like I'm supposed to do it perfectly. I feel like it's supposed to look like a movie. And so as we think about our own anxiety and other people's anxiety, it actually helps them to have a clear sense of, oh, I'm supposed to bring this. And I anticipate that this is going to last approximately this long. Right. So I think sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm not allowed to do those things because maybe that will sound, you know, surly or rude or very rigid or something like that. But we're actually helping people manage their own anxiety and expectations as we are clear about what we're thinking. And hopefully that kind of negotiation process can happen up front so that you don't get into that lingering, oh, I kind of want to leave, but no one else is leaving. And we're here and we keep being here and I'm really tired and I have to go home and go to sleep.
Yeah, most recently for Thanksgiving, through our delegation, one of my son's friends said, but I've never baked a turkey before. And I'm like, oh, this will be an excellent time for you to learn. And then it involved them. And when people get involved in your activity, it makes them feel even more important about the holiday.
So I think you all have given some great examples about how to prevent stress, about setting boundaries, setting expectations, self-care. Those are all things that keep you in a good place. What about in the moment when you're feeling stressed out, Michelle? What can you do to de-escalate those feelings of anxiety and stress?
Well, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of different things that we can do. So one is never feel shy to take a step away from the situation. So if all else fails, you could use the bathroom and kind of collect yourself and take a breath and just say, ooh, somehow when this person started talking about whatever that topic was and I wasn't even thinking about this, now all of a sudden I'm having all of these thoughts and emotions and I'm just needing to calm myself down. So you might do some taking those deep breaths, working with your own body to maybe stretch or release some of the tension, even just shrugging your shoulders up to your ears and then letting go, squeezing your hands into fists and then letting go. There's fancy names for all of these things, like that last bit is called progressive muscle relaxation. But essentially, it's really just trying to get out of your head and into your body and kind of slowing down your nervous system, because what's happening when we get into those moments of stress is our nervous system is really freaked out and dysregulated, and all it knows how to do is fight, flight, or freeze in those situations. So kind of stepping away from the situation kind of accomplishes what the body is expecting with flight, and then it gives you a chance to regroup and reset your nervous system. And then when you're all composed and you've released that physical tension and you're kind of clear in your mind about maybe what just happened, you can go back to that situation and you might say to the person, wow, I wasn't expecting it, but just talking about that actually brought up some emotions and I'm going to need to think more about that before we talk about that again.
Great. Thank you. And another thing that we mentioned a few minutes ago is coping with the loss of friends and family, something that feels a little bit more acute during the holidays. Michelle, do you have coping strategies for people who are dealing with grief during the holidays?
One thing that I would say that's really important is our culture just does not do a great job with grief and loss. We don't necessarily understand it. We don't know what to say to each other about it. And so part of what happens is we ourselves are sort of mystified by what's happening to us as we are experiencing grief and loss. So one thing that I thought I might go into a little bit, which has seemed helpful to many folks that I've worked with, is distinguishing between two types of grief triggers. So one of these is trauma reminders. So for instance, let's say on the day that you lost a loved one, the ambulance came and there were ambulance sirens. So what might happen in your present day life is you hear ambulance sirens and you are immediately put back into that place of, okay, I was, you know, checking up on my relative and maybe I found that they seemed like they were in distress and I realized we had to call an ambulance and then the ambulance came. So now I think in our culture, we do a better job of being able to recognize, okay, it's 2018 and I'm driving in my car and I hear an ambulance siren and then that kind of brings me back to this memory of when the ambulance came. We have a harder time with what is called a loss reminder. So a loss reminder is something that reminds you that the person is no longer there. So thinking about holidays, for instance, maybe we had a tradition of making cookies with a beloved grandparent. And we're sitting in a work meeting and we're talking about the holiday party and someone says, oh, who's going to bring cookies? we might then start to be in a place where we're thinking about this beloved family member that's no longer here. And our system might have just as strong of a reaction, and we might be having just as hard of a time as when we heard the ambulance sirens. But somehow it's kind of more confusing to us that that's happening to us. And what I would say is, these cues, the ones that I'm talking about, so the ambulance siren, someone asking who's going to make the cookies, these are external cues, meaning they're things that are happening in the external world, which are telling us, oh, we have an association with that external cue, something that's happening in the environment, to what's going on now with our emotions and our thoughts and our memories. What tends to be trickier to catch is when we have something internally happening. And so that would be, let's say, at the time of loss, we felt very overwhelmed and we didn't kind of know how to manage all that was happening at once. So let's say we're at work, and if you're like me, you might get 40 emails in a row and the phone is ringing and you're 5 minutes late for your next session and you start to feel very overwhelmed. This emotion itself can trigger you to the time of loss. So I think, you know, it's just really helpful for us to recognize that even when we ourselves can't quite figure out why am I having what I'm having at this level of intensity, that if we can kind of slow ourselves down and check it out with curiosity and compassion, that we can start to sort of make sense of what's happening. But it's asking a lot of a person to just be able to track, especially when the intensity is so high.
Michelle, I wanted to bring up a loss for me doesn't necessarily include the death of a relative, but because I'm new to Juneau and we're pretty isolated here, it may just be the loss of actually having my mom for the holidays or having my family for the holidays. So one of the things that I try to do to cope with my stress during the holidays, or to actually, I would say, deal with that loss for myself, is to incorporate their memories into the holidays. You know, one of the things that my sons remember is that my mom would cook popcorn balls every Christmas. So instead of missing those or actually, you know, internalizing the sadness of not having her here, we've started to make the popcorn balls, trying to get, you know, to get that memory and to keep that memory alive and still have her to be a part of our celebration for the holidays. So I also think that's one thing that people can do, as well as talk to your friends. Talk to your coworkers, talk to someone you know, to talk about, you know, any kind of sadness or grief or just, I don't have family here for the holidays, just to get that information and that communication going with people that can support you.
I think these are all great points and wonderful coping skills. We're going to take a break and come back with in a few minutes and talk about some additional community resources. But before we do that, let me just remind you all that if you or a friend are feeling suicidal, you can call the Alaska Suicide Care Line at 877-266-4357. Somebody in Alaska will answer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can also send them a text message. So there are people out there who are available to you any time of day.